Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability.
Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You had some bad news this week, I understand.
Yeah, I got a couple of spots on my liver right now. They're checking out fairly thoroughly. I wasn't here most of the day, so I haven't got the biopsy results back yet. My biggest problem still is a place I call home right now is a hospital, which I said to Steve on the way back this afternoon from Oshawa, I said, this is really sad. He said, what? I said, coming back to town, I can't say I'm going home. I'm going to the hospital. I'm glad Steve came into my life when I was so down last year, bring me back up by being just that type of person who you become friends instantly with. I got to the fair on Saturday a couple times and played some ground anchor, and I enjoyed that. So.
Yeah.
I mean, this coming to, well, tomorrow, it'll be 12 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of basement apartments around, but I can't take the stairs. There's lots of bachelor apartments and houses upstairs, but I can't take the stairs either. So. I mean, I can do 3 or 4, but I can't do 12 or 10 or 15 or even 20 where I was before now. So that's the big problem. I have to have something that's on a level place or an elevator. And apartments, bachelor apartments here in Lindsay go for $650 a month for a bachelor. So that wouldn't need much for my $800 Canada Pension Disability.
Yeah.
What I really need is a group home here in town, which is for the physically disabled.
Yep.
There is one that's for psychologically disabled people, and they do have a room, but it's up on the second floor, and there's no elevator. It's stairs, so I'm in the same boat as everything can replace. All everything's either upstairs or in the basement.
Yeah.
The ODSP file, I presume, is closed now, so I'm not going to pursue the money that they took off. There's no sense not wasting time on the amount at all.
Right.
I've told the Ombudsman's office I'm not going to bother with it either, and she said, well, you're probably smart. It's not worth the time. You've won your victory, and it's made a precedent with them that retroactivity is permissible, and they should start looking at these files closer. I think that was a case where they did not want that in the Auditor General's report.
Well, I find it hopeful that you went to the Ombudsman without having had a tribunal hearing.
I think the difference this time was that my lawyer from the Simcoe Legal Services Clinic said to the Ombudsman, saying, in their opinion, there were three lawyers signed the facts. There was no sense in going to special tribunal because they would turn it down. This matter had to have a political solution to it or an intervention from the Ombudsman's office.
Oh, there was no sense in going to the tribunal.
No. They would turn it down.
So if you're listening, this is a precedent, too, that you get your lawyer to acknowledge your feelings that a tribunal is not productive, mm-hmm. and you might get a hearing at the Ombudsman.
Yeah. It was a long, hard fight, that's for darn sure. Intrusive, it was rude, it was unnerving, it was unnecessary.
And ultimately, it was an incomplete victory, and they made their point, too, by making it incomplete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point was made, too, that they had better change the way they behave.
Yeah.
Or Big Brother, being the Ombudsman's office, would be looking down their neck again.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see how the ODSP treat me over the next few months. Because I'm in the hospital, I'm not on mail delivery. I have to, any correspondence they're sending me, I have to arrange to have picked up at their office.
No.
Well, there's something in their rules. If you're in a hospital or a nursing home and on ODSP, whether it's full benefits or just a dietary supplement, you have to pick it up at the office. Well, if you're in the hospital, you pretty well can't get out to pick it up in the first place.
Man. Yeah.
And when you have someone pick it up, you've got to give them a written letter, plus they have to have two pieces of ID.
All right.
And you have to phone your worker and tell them they're coming to pick it up.
Huh.
They just make things difficult for no reason. I mean, fine, there's people that cheat on ODSP and welfare, and we all know that. Well, then that's fine. Go and catch them. The ones that are the real cases.
Yeah.
Don't punish us just because of other people getting away with stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the social housing here in Lindsay.
Yeah.
I am constantly hearing stories of people that just moved into the area. They're going into low rental or subsidized housing.
Yeah.
Now, they can't all be abused women.
Yeah.
Coming from other areas to here.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. In Hamilton, they bid for a new provider for social housing, and they gave them the contract. Then the bidder went ahead and hired the people who'd been so obnoxious managing the previous housing list as final arbiters for housing.
Then you're gobbled up by the system and spit out.
You're correct. Mm-hmm. Anything else? There was the school, which hasn't moved and isn't going to move.
Not going to move till I can get into a residence. I can't be assessed for my electric scooter until I'm into a residence, like a home setting where the occupational therapist comes in and does the paperwork for the scooter so I can get around the campus.
What is it, like beads of garlic or something, or a cross, that she can't come into a hospital?
No, I guess all the rules say they can't do it. Don't ask me why, but...
Right. Bottom line is, right now, are you only in the hospital because you have no place to go?
That's part of the reason, yeah. The other part is I'm still under active treatment for my foot and my lungs and now the other cancer.
Okay, so, okay.
But that could also be done as an outpatient.
Yeah. Okay.
But right now, the hospital would like to get me the hell out of here, and I'd like to get the hell out of here, too.
Yeah.
So that's about it from this end for now. We're still looking for the house, or the home, or the whatever.
Okay.
And keep our fingers crossed we can get it.
Okay.
If you want to check with me after the doctor's been here by 9 o'clock. Well, you have a good night.
All right.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck with the accommodation and the bone marrow match.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now we'll take a short break with the blues.
Well, I'm a traveling light, baby, come on and go with me. Well, I'm a traveling light, baby, come on and go with me. 8 wide and 7 longest rivers empties into the deep blue sea. I've got a long road to travel, come on and let's have some fun. Got a long road to travel, come on baby, let's have some fun. Way down the highway I can show you how love is really done. I've got my clothes all back and my car's all filled with gas. My car's all filled with gas. We'll take Route 66 and drive as long as it lasts. And when the gas gets low, we'll stop and get some more. When the gas gets low, we'll stop and get some more. Got a long road to travel and I need you by my side, you know. Destination is dear old New Orleans. Ain't do I love and by the moonlight lip in the shade, oh lip. Do I love and by the moonlight lip in the shade, oh lip. Fine body to make you comfy while you rock your blues away.
And now back to our interview in progress.
Disrespect welcomes the coordinator for the Ontario Coalition for Social Justice, John Ardue, to the show. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
You were at the demonstration on Thursday.
I was.
At Queen's Park. Tell us how that came to be.
Well, it came to be because of the frustration of many people who were on social assistance in Ontario and people who are on disability and also people who are earning minimum wage, but government is not raising it fast enough.
Yeah.
And then also the other clear, well, two other issues, really. One is people on social assistance face a clawback of the National Child Tax Credit if they have children.
The Liberals didn't claw back the increase.
That's right. That's right. And so they still claw back the main credit, but I think they saved parents $3.
Oh.
So the comparison with 121 was kind of frustrating.
Right.
The other issue was affordable housing, or is affordable housing, just because of the clear cost of housing throughout the province, but particularly in bigger cities. And so for low-income people, that really hits you.
I'm interested to know how it was organized.
The Coalition for Social Justice in Peterborough, as well as the Coalition Against Poverty in Peterborough, and various other groups, including people at Trent University and teachers and some students, too, even in high school, at different levels, we're all just frustrated with these social policies and aware that the newly elected Liberal government 2 years ago aren't behaving all that differently from the previous Conservative government. And so they were aware in Peterborough of other marches having been organized in the last few years in Quebec about various issues, or in Ontario, I think from Sarnia about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
There was a march for dignity concerning similar issues about social assistance.
Right.
And so in Peterborough, they thought it'd just be an excellent idea to just demonstrate that a lot of people were really concerned, and so came up with this idea of walking and wheeling and riding or, you know, taking a bus to urge politicians at Queen's Park to increase the social assistance rates and disability rates and the rate of minimum wage. And so they called their campaign the Walk, Wheel, Ride for Dignity.
Did you have anybody with wheelchairs go on the demonstration?
You know, it was amazing. There were two people who came from Peterborough in wheelchairs. They use wheelchairs for about 20 kilometers a day.
Wow.
It's just amazingly impressive.
Yeah.
And a number of other people, about a dozen people or so walked, and then a couple of people in wheelchairs. I think about 10. Yeah, I'm not sure the exact number, but about 10 bicycles.
Okay.
So it was just a good spirit. Decentralized organization came through the OCSJ. So that was where I had the pleasure of talking with and motivating and just trying to organize people from various spots in Ontario.
All right.
So actually the person who came the farthest came all the way, if you can believe it, from Fort Frances, almost the Manitoba border, if I can say, beyond Thunder Bay. But then a number of people came from London, from Kitchener, from Guelph, Hamilton, Cobourg, Peterborough, obviously, Belleville and Kingston, and they're from Ottawa, a couple of vans.
How was the date chosen? It was Thursday.
It was a Thursday. There were a couple
last
of
one, last one in September.
When this was decided, I think last April, they first of all thought the legislature would be sitting, because that was certainly what was announced at that time, and they were guessing that the weather would be fine.
But so it was actually,
of course,
it was fixed in April, this date.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And so there's been organizing since that time.
Okay.
And just gradual discussion and information and just informing people that this was the plan and therefore encouraging people from around Ontario to join with, you know, the people in Peterborough, but from other places.
Yeah.
We were surprised that, contrary to the announcement by the Ontario government on its website and advice directly from politicians, because it was verified in a couple of different ways that the legislature would be sitting on this day. In fact, a few weeks ago, the government decided to postpone the first day that the legislature would reconvene.
So
not only do we miss it by a day, but heck, I think it's October 11th that the legislature is reconvening in the fall.
Yeah.
But we weren't going to be frustrated. We had the rally, and then actually we arranged a couple of meetings, one of which was canceled at the last moment, but it was postponed, actually.
You
we arranged
have,
a couple of other meetings?
Meetings
with MPPs.
Oh, good.
Yes. Julia Monroe, actually, from York North, a progressive conservative MPP.
Mm-hmm.
We had an interesting chat, and she was very pleasant and welcoming and heard our views. And it was a good discussion, because I was there just as the coordinator of the OCSJ, but there were three disabled people as well.
Okay.
And so we were making a strong point that the fellow from Hamilton who was disabled, and the woman from Cobourg who was disabled, and then the woman from Brighton whose husband has been disabled for 10 years, had various complaints and frustrations to describe to her and to tell her how difficult it was to live on a fixed income.
Yeah.
With the kind of difficulties that people on disability in particular have. So one example was the couple, the man who was disabled for 10 years and his wife moved to Brighton, but their doctor was in Oshawa, and because of the importance of retaining your doctor, they just needed to spend that extra amount of time and gas to go from Brighton to Oshawa, and therefore it was a balance. They were living more cheaply in a house in Brighton. It was really important just to keep up with your doctor. But it's so frustrating, because on occasion it's more than one visit a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be two, maybe three, maybe more. But still, you know, two or three regular visits at different times is not completely surprising. Although the regular schedule would be one a month. But you know, for that extra two or three times in a given month, a small part of the transportation is paid, but not completely. And so that's just part of the frustration.
So the government has proposed and succeeds in effectively limiting the number of visits you can spend with your doctor out of town?
Well, they wouldn't say that, but they would say there's a definite restriction on the amount of medical costs for transportation which be paid in a given month.
Oh.
The frustration, rationally, is it has nothing to do with the medical condition of the person. You would hope that the scheme would be calculated based on the condition, the health, of the person who's disabled.
Yeah. We're interviewing a fellow on a weekly basis, I may have mentioned to you before the interview, who is stuck in hospital because the amount of money he gets won't allow him to afford very many choices, and the last choice he took, the lady herself fell ill and had to refuse his tenancy. But he needs a ground floor apartment because he's not that mobile, and he needs one within the guidelines, which are, what, in the low $400 range. He's 54. He's going into continuing care with a bunch of seniors because he can't get any housing. And it's beginning to look like the greatest impediment to his recovery because it's got him continually depressed.
It's so irrational because the government, for goodness sake, could be saving money, for goodness sake.
Instead of keeping him in hospital.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's so much more expensive, obviously,
in
an institution like that. If you're forced to stay in hospital because you can't afford an apartment, it's just outrageous.
I had a discussion with a well-known activist,
right,
and I mentioned that I didn't feel this was morale-building choice. And I was told, why? What's wrong with living with seniors? And I didn't have they were here for an interview, and they left, and I didn't have the time to reflect and explain that when you share the same disabilities, it's very disturbing because the person finds that they're pigeonholed, and they get depressed.
Yes, quite clearly. And I think you'd become more unhealthy for a person on disability at a younger age to be placed with people who are dying.
Yeah.
Who are just closer to the end.
Yeah.
It's just so uncaring, I think.
Well, the other thing that affects this man is because he can't get a home, he can't get a disability assessment.
Yes.
They won't come into the hospital to assess this man's needs. And because he can't get a disability assessment, although he's paid the tuition and been accepted, he can't get the aids he needs to go to school. So when Premier McGuinty promised to put money into health and education, he forgot the hospital beds being taken up by people who can't afford housing, and he forgot the hostel arrangements made by some downtown Toronto hospitals for people who they don't want in hospital beds but nevertheless can't discharge because they'll end up on the street. And he forgot that people who want to get off of disability benefits or welfare and want education can't do so if they can't afford a home as either a base to attend school or, in this case, a base to get your needs assessed. It's a no-win situation. Did you get any encouragement from the Conservative?
Julie Monroe was very pleasant, and she was rather noncommittal, however.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we met Julie Monroe, to give the Conservatives credit. We met her in lieu of meeting John Tory on that day.
Okay.
John was in Sudbury, North Bay,
and
just couldn't change his plans. And so it was agreed among his staff that we would, we as the OCSJ, representatives from the OCSJ, would meet with him at mutual convenience in the next couple of weeks.
Good.
But the other person with whom we had a meeting was Mario Racco, a Liberal from Thornhill, and he at the last moment couldn't meet us, but it was just a transportation problem because he was up in Thornhill, north of Toronto, and so we've arranged a meeting with him this Thursday.
Oh, good.
And then the NDP was covered because we were nonpartisan, you know. We wanted to see somebody from all parties. Andrea Horvath from Hamilton came, actually she came out to the rally, and so she was with us at the rally in front of Queen's Park.
Okay. There were 400 people there. What was the mood?
The rally was designed, as I said, because of the frustration of people, of course. I mean, the message was, it's kind of frustrating and depressing because of the social assistance rates and disability rates and the minimum wage being kept so low in comparison to what we all just think they should be.
Yeah.
But the mood, though, of people getting together from different locations in Ontario was upbeat. It was upbeat because of the example of people walking and wheeling and just coming from so far, you know, in a number of instances, and then meeting with a number of people from Toronto. And so the excitement came from just being impressed with people who are taking a couple of hours and coming to the legislature and mixing and mingling among people and talking about concerns and therefore sharing experiences by people who are disabled or people who are on social assistance and those who are minimum wage and realizing that, you know, you don't have to live in Toronto to experience some of the same things as people in Hamilton or in London.
Yeah.
Or Cornwall do.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. It was interesting, but it was more than interesting. It was exciting, and it was affirming.
Good.
And we learned, we had a couple of messages that were just delivered actually by email, just as I was leaving on the way over to the rally, but a rally was organized in Thunder Bay on the same day,
mm-hmm.
and so they were meeting their MPP mm-hmm. from Thunder Bay. Mike Gravel joined them in their march and joined them at a picnic afterwards, identified with them.
Good.
And then at the other end of the province, the Cornwall, a number of people from Cornwall got together, had a march downtown,
right.
and they marched to Jim Brownell's office.
Okay.
Jim Brownell's office acknowledged that.
Good.
And then a couple of other... Well, actually, in Ottawa. In Ottawa, they had an event just outside Ottawa City Hall.
On the same day?
On the same day, to express solidarity.
Good. So you had the whole thing planned for 6 months. You've got a couple of meetings in Toronto planned to follow up. Where does the action go from here?
Well, from here, people got together, and they say they were excited and affirmed by the fact that there were just a number of people all through the province. And so excited and wanting to cooperate further. And so there's a fair agreement that will just continue, particularly since the legislature wasn't sitting. There are other MPPs that would have been seen,
mm-hmm.
would have been talked to, and since the legislature is not sitting for another 10 days or so,
mm-hmm.
well, people are keen to see them in different constituencies.
Oh,
and
I see.
So I know people from Guelph and from Kitchener and from London, and actually there are a number of people from Ottawa, too, two vans came from Ottawa, will see their MPPs back in constituency offices. Coburg, too. There's a Coburg group in two vans that came from Coburg as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll see Lou Rinaldi from Coburg. And so that's a direct continuation of the kind of thing we've been doing. A slight variation will be on October 17th. And that day is the United Nations Day to Eradicate Poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And a high-profile campaign is being held during the year, actually. You may have heard of Make Poverty History.
All right.
Got going in July, I think, at a high profile with the G8 conference over in Scotland. And Bob Geldof and other rock stars were arguing to the prime ministers of the G8 countries, including our own, including Paul Martin, that poverty should be eradicated, particularly with the well-off countries in the world. And so on October 17th, on this UN Day to Eradicate Poverty, the same message will be made. And Make Poverty History has a few messages, one of which in Canada, because they have domestic messages in given at a particular country,
mm-hmm.
and the message here, aside from their international messages about poverty, is to end child poverty. It's an important one in Canada because as long ago as November 24th, 1989, was the day when Ed Broadbent brought a motion, and it was passed unanimously in the House of Commons in Canada to end child poverty in Canada by the year 2000.
Oh.
So we all know that has not been achieved.
No.
And so on October 17th, we'll unite with the people who are really keen about the Make Poverty History campaign and some of the international issues
yeah.
with this particular domestic issue. We'll have a few events in different places in Ontario and actually across the country, too.
Is there a place people can go to find out about these?
Well, sure, through the OCSJ, actually. If people just contact me in Toronto. We don't have a 1-800 number, unfortunately, but I'll give you the email in a second. But the telephone number is 416-441-3714.
So that's 416-441-3714.
That's right. And then the email for people who have access to computers, either on their own or through the library or wherever else they might use a computer, I can be reached by email, and I can call back anyway or email a person back. The address, our address is pretty easy. It's info, or I-N-F-O, at O-C-S-J, period.
Info at OCSJ.ca.
That's right.
Okay, good.
So we'll have the information. And in fact, I think it's pretty clear. We'll verify it in a couple of days, but I think we'll have an event at St. James Cathedral on King Street at the corner of Church, downtown Toronto. But still, we'll have that information. So if people telephone or email me, then I'll be pleased to inform them or phone them back and tell them the details.
Good.
I feel strongly that... it's certainly worthwhile work on my part. We'll keep doing it until the politicians agree to change.
Thanks, John. Forward to your activism on the 17th.
Well, look, thank you.
Thank you for coming on the air at Disrespect, John.
Well, Jeff, it's been a pleasure. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
All right.
Okay, good
Bye.
Talk to Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, where you going? Seen you going down that street the other night. I don't know, boy. I've been where I'm going. That's all right. I didn't see you till you plumb out of sight. Man, I sure like latch on some Mac Boogie Woogie tonight. Oh, you mean some old fat Boogie Woogie? That's just what I need, boy. That's just what I need too, man. A If you want to hear some boogie that I know they play, it's just an old piano and a knocked-out bass. The drummer made the guy they call 8-Beat Mac. You remember Doc, you know, beat me daddy's slack. Man is better than chicken, fried and bacon grease. Come along with me, boys, just down the road a piece. That's good, man. I guess I better get on down that road. Shoot to the AP to like those things, yeah. Come along with me for the loot at least. Coming down the road, be flying.
Thank you.
At the middle of the show, you heard from the Rural Blues CD, Lonnie Johnson and Long Road to Travel. And at the end of the show, Big Joe Duskin from 6th Avenue Express and Down the Road a Piece. Disrespect asks you to send us your requests for topics about disability discrimination, and we will air those topics in our interviews. Send your suggestion to radio.stories@gmail.com. radio.stories@gmail.com. Disrespect's interviews are digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.